Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Let's get right to today's discussion and my special guest. Joining me on the show is Genevieve Weeks, who is the founder of Tutu School. That's right, think ballerinas. Born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin, she received her early ballet training there and took part in her first dance productions in the middle of her parents' living room, like most kids do. Genevieve moved to Chicago to study at the School of Ballet Chicago, and that same year became a founding member of the Ballet Chicago Studio Company. Who knew that Genevieve would start her own ballet school and franchise so quickly? She's here today to share her incredible journey from ballet dancer to business owner. Genevieve, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, it's such a pleasure. And, you know, when you were younger, so you trained to be a ballet dancer, and then you kind of took that whole love of dancing to launch Tutu School. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to become a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty unexpected, actually. I was still performing, and I had moved out to California. I'd gotten a contract with Oakland Ballet that had taken me from Chicago out to the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was dancing out there until that company unfortunately ran into some financial difficulty. And so I started freelancing, and in my free time, I was teaching. And at one of the schools that I taught at, they put me in charge of their pre-ballet program, which is traditionally kids that are sort of preschool age. And I just fell in love with that age group. It was magical to be working with kids at that age that are just falling in love with ballet and movement and music and discovering so much about themselves. And so I just really found that age group to be so magical. And then this other part of my brain started noticing that those were the classes at the schools that I was teaching at that were really, you know, they constantly had waiting lists. People were always trying to get their kids into them. They were very busy. They were doing a great business for the ballet schools. And yet they were kind of a little bit neglected. You know, someone would just sort of say, who's teaching the three-year-olds on Saturday morning? And there wasn't a ton of thought in larger dance schools necessarily put into a preschool ballet program. And so I really started thinking about what if we did that? What if I created a boutique ballet school environment that was just tailored for very young children, where everything from the environment, you know, the space of the studio itself to the curriculum would really be focused around just very young dancers. And I told my husband that I thought it was something I wanted to do when I retired. And he said, well, why wait? And we started looking for spaces, and we opened up our first location in San Francisco the following year. That one exploded and did so well that a year and a half later, we opened up a second location across the Golden Gate Bridge in Marin, and then just realized quite quickly that I could never open up all of the Tutu schools there could be myself and turn to franchising.
Well, I definitely want to talk about franchising. But first, is it difficult to teach little kids, to dance and to keep their attention? I just wonder, that age group, how difficult is that? Or maybe it's easy.
You know, it is. It's interesting. I sometimes say that it takes a special kind of crazy. Just because, you know, it's such a magical age group to work with, but obviously it presents its own challenges. And so, you know, you'll find that really amazing dancers might not be great teachers for 2 and 3 year olds. You really have to have a quality of incredible patience, of creativity, and to be really, really willing to work on ways to help very little bodies put movement into their bodies and to really use their imaginations as well, so that hopefully they're just getting this really immersive experience that's really enriching and going to do more for them than just teaching them ballet technique. Because obviously with really little dancers, it's about so much more than that. The technical instruction they're getting is very basic. It's really more about the ways that we can enrich their lives through exposing them to movement and music and the culture of ballet.
That sounds wonderful. How involved are ballet moms? You know, you sometimes see these shows about dance moms or even the pageant moms. So are ballet moms as intense?
You know, I think it varies. I'm speaking for my own mother, in defense of my own mother, she was not. She was very supportive, but not crazy, which I really appreciate. But I think, you know, with the dancers that we work with, they're so little. We only, at Tutu School, we only teach students that are age 8 and under, since 8 is when you would start more serious instruction. So we don't typically see that, although what we'll sometimes see is parents who do start wondering, you know, when is my child going to start learning, you know, quote unquote, real ballet? When are they going to start getting more technical and more serious in their study? And we're always happy to use that as an opportunity to talk about the fact that really truly serious technical instruction shouldn't start before the age of about 6 to 8 years old. And until then, you can layer, you know, basic technique in there, but it really needs to be balanced with a lot of creative movement activities where hopefully you're just, again, helping these kids really fall in love with ballet, but not pushing them before their bodies are ready and really before their minds are ready.
Exactly. So, you know, you didn't think that you would even have a tutu school. It was unexpected, but it took off. And then you mentioned the franchising. So was that, were you nervous about the franchising? Did you see it as a great opportunity? Kind of talk a little bit about the process.
Yeah. Well, so when we opened that first tutu school in San Francisco, we really did just sort of open up into this perfect size hole that was in the market. So kids' activities were really taking off, and there was nothing in that space that was specifically related to ballet or dance yet. And so we really did see that we grew quite quickly because of that, and that also the businesses that were there weren't typically starting as young as we did. We started 18 months in a mommy and me or daddy and me or caregiver and me class.
Oh, that's cute.
It is. It's adorable. But so that was something that was new. So we really, you know, again, we just saw this really explosive growth initially and then saw that we were able to replicate it with that second location in Marin. And then just really realized, okay, these could do quite well in a number of communities, but there's no way that I could open them all myself. And I was really fortunate in that one of my very best friends, Bridget Brown, had franchised a business called Bella Bridesmaid, which was a bridesmaid's boutique. And she opened, you know, before she sold it, some years ago, but over 40 locations. And so I'd had this model. Yeah, she did a really wonderful job with that business and that brand. And I'd had this incredible model in front of me where I saw how she was able to scale and grow her business and still really take care of the brand. And so I was incredibly lucky that I had that example and then her as a mentor. But even with that, we really took some time to really figure out how we would do it, you know, how we would basically prepare a tutu school in a box is what I like to say, so that we could really make sure we were being very consistent in the way that each tutu school was being replicated.
What was in the box? So the tutu school in a box, if you franchise, what are those certain areas that you kind of have to really pay attention to that move forward with each of your franchises?
There are so many. I do, sometimes people will see that we franchised and that we're franchising successfully in a relatively short period of time, and they'll come to me and talk to me about their own business. And I'm always encouraging people to look at franchising because I think it's a wonderful way to grow. But I do see a lot of the time that people sort of think of it as maybe they're confusing it a little bit with licensing, where they think they're just going to allow someone to use their name or their brand. With franchising, again, you really do. You want to give them a whole business in a box, so it's a complete package. So that includes everything from, you know, not just our programming, which is obviously at the core of what we do, our curriculum and our birthday parties and our camp and training all of the staff and faculty members to be able to do that in a really meaningful and high quality way. But it's also, you know, outlining every detail of a decor package so that the branding of a space and your trade dress is really consistent from location to location. It's making sure that you have templated marketing materials so that everything from, you know, registration packets to postcards that are getting handed out at local coffee shops, all are down, you know, down to the very last detail, are really consistent in all of the branding threads that you've woven through them. And then, you know, in this day and age too, it's technology. So we have proprietary software that our franchisees use to run each location, and that ties in and works hand in hand with their websites that are forward facing for their clients. So I think it's a lot more than people maybe imagine, and that's what we realized when we really started started drilling down to figure out how we would put together this franchise package was that, you know, you get rid of any one of those things and you run the risk of someone somewhere walking into a tutu school and not having the experience we believe they should have. So you really need everything. Right.
Well, this is really interesting and so helpful for any listeners who, you know, are thinking of taking that step toward franchising. So, you know, I guess it seems like because you had a friend who did it and you had a model that it, you know, it seemed a little bit easier. Were there any tough areas as a part of the franchising process that you experienced?
I think, you know, maybe just even with having had my friend and mentor Bridget, you know, and so having had that example, I still think once I got into it myself, seeing the reality of all of those layers, you know, that I just mentioned, I still think I was a little bit daunted initially. I think at first I just sort of thought, great, I'm going to write an operations manual and, you know, Yes. We have our curriculum and this is fantastic. We'll maybe tweak our website so that it's more easy to duplicate. You know, I really didn't foresee all of the ways that once you start diving into, okay, I'm going to tell someone this is a tutu school, this is how you open it, this is how you get ready for day one, all of the tools that I would want to make sure that they would have. You know, and I'm sure that there is, and I know that there's variation from franchise system to franchise system in terms of how many of those details are seen to, probably. But I knew that for us, for tutu school, it was so important. We're definitely a very detail-oriented business. That's the kind of thing that our families that attend classes really notice, is that each tutu school creates its own kind of community and that there's always an incredible amount of attention to detail, both in terms of customer service and in terms of the classes themselves, and the little events that we throw and the ways that we try and let our students know we're always thinking of them. And so there just really wasn't another way to do it except to stop and take some time. And for us, it ended up being a few years that we really took to put together our franchise package. And I don't think that I anticipated that. I think the other thing that was tougher than I would have imagined was just finding the right first franchisee. It really took a while for us to find her, and she's amazing. Our first franchisee, Christy, opened up in Redwood City, our first franchise location, 3 years ago, and now next month she's getting ready to open up her fourth location.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I know. Which brings our total to 23 locations that are open or in development. But so she's obviously pretty remarkable, but it took us a while to find her. There would be some people that we would think were great who ended up, you know, getting a little gun shy, or some people that were definitely ready to go that we just felt like, you know, maybe weren't a perfect fit. So that part, I think I didn't anticipate how long it would take to find the first franchisee. And then once we did, everyone had told us that that's a really key initial step. And from there, you'll have other great applicants that will follow. And that definitely turned out to be true.
So how do you police the franchise experience? So, you know, you go to such great lengths to put together your business in a box and to make sure that everything, every I is dotted and every T is crossed. Do you just hear from feedback? Is that how you can tell that the experience actually goes from franchise to franchise, or do you visit? How would you even know?
We're really hands-on. So we do visit. We visit each location at least once a year, and then we're checking in with video audits of classes in between then. We're always checking in with different notes and different ideas. Certainly we also, you know, we look for ways to get feedback from clients at different locations too, whether it's, you know, official reviews they've submitted or just more casual feedback. But really it's just kind of constantly keeping the communication open and also walking the line of, you know, we know that all of our franchise owners got into business because they want to be entrepreneurs. They want to have their own business. Yeah. So it's kind of always walking a line of making sure that we're giving them the freedom to really run their business and to be business owners, but also the support so they don't feel like they're doing that on their own. And so that we can make sure we're taking care of the brand as a whole so that it stays strong for all of the other owners. So, you know, we try not to micromanage, but we also, since, you know, again, we are a very detail-oriented business, we try and make sure that we're just creating a culture where all of the owners are taking all of those details as seriously as we do.
Excellent. And, you know, so as you were, you know, we talked a lot about the franchise process. What about just the challenges of being a business owner and growing the business? Is there anything that you're finding that's so different than your former life as a dancer?
You know, I think launching was much easier than growing. I think making the decision just to go is, even though that seems like that's what's probably scariest to people, that has turned out to be a lot a lot more, a lot easier than the actual growth. You know, even though the growth is a great thing, and certainly it feels great to have had this success with Juju thus far, there are also growing pains, you know? And I think that, again, that's something that you maybe don't anticipate. You just think, okay, I can't wait for expansion, and don't necessarily foresee that expansion brings with it its own set of challenges. So I think maybe the trickiest part for us has been pacing the growth. You know, people always counsel staying ahead of growth, making sure that you hire additional staff before you really, you know, feel that pinch that you need it. Otherwise, you might hamper your growth. And that's always been a tricky thing for me. I think it's tricky, I see, when I'm counseling franchise owners, just even in terms of, you know, how many teachers should they hire? How many classes should they put on their schedule? I notice that's something everyone always kind of struggles a little bit with. Like, you know, I don't want to have empty classes, or I don't want to be paying teachers I don't need. And I can relate to it so much because, you know, I even feel that way on a broader level with the franchise system, where, okay, we don't want to open too many locations too fast, or we, you know, we don't want to bring on too much franchise support staff too quickly. On the other hand, if you do that stuff too slowly, you can really inhibit your growth. So I think some of the most challenging aspects have been really just learning how to pace growth and try and ride that fine line down the middle and not go too fast or too slow.
And now you mentioned hiring people and making sure that you're doing it at the right point. What do you think makes a winning team? Why is it that, you know, what you're doing and growing your business works so well? How does the team dynamic play a part?
I think core values are so important. I really think that everybody at the end of the day has to know why they're there, especially a business like ours that is really something that everyone, you know, on a franchise owner level, certainly. And I really believe, you know, down to our teachers as well, they're there because they really believe that this is a really magical thing to be a part of, you know, that we get to be a part of children going into rooms where they're discovering things about themselves, you know, pretending to be firebirds and swans and sugar plums, moving to Tchaikovsky. That's a pretty amazing thing to get to be a part of.
That is amazing.
You know, and so you need people to be remembering that at the end of the day too, even when there's a lot of other business stuff. I think also a sense of trust. I've definitely learned that our team, both, you know, at the individual location level and then on a franchise level, absolutely works the best when we're all coming from a place of giving one another the benefit of the doubt, you know, because of course issues arise or confusion or, you know, just things to be sorted through in the daily course of doing business. And as long as everyone is really committed to the core values and really believes in why they're there, that, and then also just really trust one another, then I think that things can work really well and there's not really anything you can't work through.
Oh, that's a really great point. Yeah. If you have trust, you can get through anything, because you're right, there's always going to be disagreements. I'm just pivoting a little bit because, you know, you had mentioned that it is such an amazing experience, these children as they're, you know, becoming swans and sugar plums. How does Tutu School, and you had mentioned this before, you know, they're growing into their bodies and they're learning. How does your school help children to gain body confidence, when sometimes you do hear these stories about ballet dancers, the tremendous pressure, the, you know, even the eating issues that might go around dancing? How do you combat that? What are you doing so that children are on the right track and feeling good and healthy and confident?
Yeah, no, I that's such a great question, because I'm very sensitive to all of that, you know, having had a career in ballet and being a bigger bone, bigger muscle dancer myself. It's something I'm certainly really sensitive to, having come through the ballet world. And I think, you know, that's honestly some of what's been so beautiful for me personally about Tutu School, is that it really just celebrates everything I really believe in about ballet, and everything that I think is so such a great gift to pass on to people about ballet. So, you know, I love that one of our things that we say throughout our materials and our website is that every child should know what it feels like to dance. And we say that because I think it can be such a body positive experience. I think there is this connotation now around ballet where people, you know, sometimes do think of the negative aspects that they've heard, and I hope, hopefully, right, that's improving in the professional world of ballet. I certainly feel that it is, but I know that but absolutely, without a doubt, in our program, you know, we really focus on just giving kids the confidence of being in their own bodies. It's something that people sometimes take for granted, but, you know, developing things like rhythmic awareness and working on both fine and gross motor skills from a young age, that's just helping children, and certainly we work with a lot of girls, just really stand in their own skin and feel confident about the way they carry themselves and the fact that they are in control of their own bodies and they know how to move them and use them. You know, that's invaluable. So I think sometimes people can think of grace as a specifically feminine or frilly thing, but mm-hmm. it helps kids gain coordination and helps them feel comfortable inside of their own bodies, and that's just confidence building.
Absolutely. Do you see children helping one another or relationships forming in these young ages? Do you see a lot of interaction, or is there just more interaction between the teacher and the children?
We absolutely do. We see, certainly, you know, the youngest kids, just developmentally, they're sort of more in a parallel yeah. play stage, so they're more interacting with their caregivers. But as they get older, we absolutely do. And we see really tight bonds that form between kids that have been coming to classes for a while. You know, you'll see little groups of girls and their parents, too, that really get connected from having come to these classes every week together. And in fact, one of my favorite groups that I have in my mind right now that I'm thinking of is both a group that kind of really illustrated that bonding of friends, but also body positivity. We have a student who's just absolutely remarkable, who was born with a mild form of cerebral palsy. And yeah. she has just from day one completely attacked class, you know, knowing that she might not be able to do everything the same way that her fellow classmates do, but that she's going to find a way to do it. And the support that she gets from her classmates, who have all become really close friends, is just, it's incredible. So you see, you know, you see both things there. You see the confidence that she displays for them, and also that I hope has continued to grow at Tutu School, but then also the way that she and her classmates have learned to be really good, supportive friends of one another. And my favorite story about her is she was in this, she had a surgery a little over about a year and a half ago now. And then she was in the hospital for a long time afterwards doing extensive physical therapy. And her mother told me that whenever the physical therapist would say to her, you know, you're just doing such a great job with your stretching. How are you so good with all of these stretches? You know, she would say, it's because I'm a ballerina.
Oh, that's so wonderful. That must make you feel really good to hear
and
that.
It absolutely does. And I do. I think it illustrates the way that, you know, these classes, when they're done with the values that we really hold dear, I think they can be incredibly body positive. And that's certainly one of our main goals.
That's awesome. Okay, Genevieve, I'm going to ask you to hold all your thoughts for now. We're going to take a quick break to give some love to our sponsor. When we return, Genevieve will share more about her franchising experience and keeping the Tutu School brand intact.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Genevieve Weeks, founder of Tutu School, and I were just chatting about the launch of her business and working with children to help them gain body confidence from ballet school. So, Genevieve, it was really interesting, you know, talking about the launch of your business, how you're franchising. And the children, and especially the story about the young girl and how she kind of related being a ballerina to being able to stretch through her physical therapy. I was just curious, as you've gone through all of this, maybe you could just share, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't know as you were building your business?
How many hours do you have?
Exactly.
I feel like I've learned a lot that I didn't know about myself. I think the number one thing is, you know, I'm still kind of, when I introduce myself to people and they ask, you know, what do you do? we just moved recently to a new city, and so I've been doing a lot more of that. And when I hear myself say, oh, I'm a CEO of Choo Choo School, I always kind of catch myself because that just sounds, it just still sounds so odd to me. And I do think that it's been a few years of me kind of adjusting to the fact that this is my new role in life, because it just seemed to me for so long to be so different from where I started as a, you know, a performing ballet dancer and a professional ballet dancer. And now, you know, I really, the more time I've spent in this role, the more I realize how related they really were. And so I think the thing I've realized that stands out to me the most is just that all of my training for all of those years, you know, all of the time in the studio, all of the rehearsals, getting ready to go on stage, just really did prepare me in this very unique way for this role of being a leader of a company, you know, both for launching my own business and then for helping other women launch theirs. Because in every decision, you know, whether it was to pull the trigger on my own company or as I'm helping these other women decide, yes, I'm really going to go ahead and launch my own business, there's always this moment that I've come to call the step on the stage moment, where you really, it doesn't matter how much you've prepared, you know, how many hours of rehearsal you had in the studio, you have to just go out there and do it. You know, the music's playing and you can either stay in the wings and let that moment pass you by,
right,
or you just go out there. And I think for a long time I took for granted the fact that I'd had all this really unique preparation for that. And now that I try and coach other people through it, I really see how valuable that is. And you know, I'm so grateful for it.
That's a really good analogy. You know, it's so interesting that you can kind of step back and see that training, how much it's helped you in your decision-making now. And I also wonder, you know, when you said that you're training and you have rehearsals, there is so much discipline that must go into being a professional ballerina. You have to have the same discipline as an entrepreneur. Do you think that discipline has helped you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think just in life, but certainly in owning your own business and running your own company. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that too. And I think that, you know, because as a ballet dancer, you start from such a young age, that all becomes such second nature to you, that some of those routines and patterns in terms of just really feeling like at the end of the day, you know, you answer to yourself. And so you need to keep yourself on task and make sure that you're focused on the end goal. That was such a part of my training from such a young age that it certainly has carried forward and has helped me. And I'm very grateful for that.
That's great. So your role at Choo Choo School, it kind of sounds like it must have changed because, you know, when you start out as an entrepreneur and you're running your own businesses, but then you now suddenly have franchisees who have a bunch of businesses, you take on a different role. So what do you like the most about the role you play now, or maybe it was the role before? How are you feeling about your role?
I love my role. I mean, it definitely, there are moments where I kind of, you know, feel a little nostalgia for when it was just me in a room in San Francisco and I was teaching all of the classes and, you know, knew every student by name. And I certainly feel that at moments, but I really do love my role now. And in fact, when people kind of talk about, well, what's next for Choo Choo School? And people have asked me, you know, well, so, you know, what's your exit strategy? Do you want to sell it in 5 years? And I said, no, I want to be doing this in 5 years. This is the only job I want. I love taking care of the brand, which is something that I think surprised me, since obviously that's so different from my ballet background. But it's something that I take very seriously in my role as CEO of the franchise. I know that that's what all of our franchisees are really depending on. And I just take that stewardship of our brand really, really carefully and very thoughtfully. And then the other thing that I think I hadn't really focused on as much, frankly, when we were moving towards franchising, I was really looking at franchising as a way to grow Choo Choo School and to open Choo Choo Schools in new communities. I wasn't thinking as much about how wonderful it would be to help all of these other women launch their own businesses. And that's just become an absolute favorite thing of my job, is that, you know, we're going to have a franchise meeting here in another month or so in March. And I love getting to sit around the table and see all of these amazing women that are part of our community that have opened their own businesses through Choo Choo School. It's just incredible.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
It is.
You know, so you get to relive the process over and over.
It's
great.
It's so true.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned the CEO being sort of over the brand. And Tutu School has a really strong brand. What happens when some of your, and I don't know if this happens, but is there ever a time when one of your franchisees makes a recommendation or wants to do something different? Do you push back? Do you incorporate it? How do you handle so many, you know, different personalities who I know you meet and screen and work with, but they probably all have ideas and are really excited about their franchises. So what do you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, so all of the above, we'll sometimes push back, but we definitely also try and listen and incorporate things too. You know, usually what really helps us all is the fact that we all have the same end goal, you know, which we're all mutually invested in making sure that, you know, each of these Tutu School locations is the best it can be and that it's providing this really incredible, magical experience for our Tutu School families. So, you know, if there ever is something that's maybe, you know, using the wrong typeface or something, or, you know, doesn't have our exact brand shade of purple in the copy, you know, typically, even though a franchisee might be a little bit bummed about that, oh no, I liked that ad, you know, I'm sorry to go back and change that. They also really do understand. I think everyone who signed up for this does understand that a lot of the reason for doing it is the strength of a consistent brand. So we've really tried to first of all, make it as painless as possible so that there's as much as we can is just already templated, is really pretty quote unquote foolproof. But, you know, again, we do know that these are owners who really want to own their own businesses. So we love that they have their own ideas. And what's fun now is that, you know, I'll steal some of them for the corporate locations. I just this afternoon wrote one of my, one of our franchisees has planning this great father-daughter dance for Valentine's Day. And I wrote her and said, I saw the invitation for it and it was fantastic. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm stealing this and we're doing this at the corporate locations. I'm copying
you. That's really good.
So I love that we have this whole community of, you know, really thoughtful, creative people. And the last thing I would ever want is for them to just feel like robots. So, you know, we do kind of sometimes have to play a little bit with again, where the line is, but fortunately I think everyone's really open to making sure that we're always just moving forward in the best way for the brand. And then, you know, we in return promise them at our Tutu School corporate office that we're always going to be really open to the great ideas that they have and the feedback that they have for us.
That's really cool. Do you think that you've always been a brand expert and a marketer at heart? You didn't know it?
In some ways, yes. I was definitely, I mean, when I was a child, I would definitely play with my best friends setting up one business or another. I mean, we were serial entrepreneurs in our basements and our backyards. We had a roller skating school one summer and a dance school another. And I mean, we were just always making up these imaginary organizations and companies that we were running and setting out roles for one another. And I usually, you know, put myself somewhere near the top of the corporate infrastructure at those. So I think that I always knew that I liked the idea of building businesses. Cool. I think that I can look back now and see places where, yeah, there was probably an emerging sense of what a brand is and how to take care of a brand. But I don't think I would have expected to put it all together in the way that it's come together in Tutu School.
That's quite amazing. Okay, so you mentioned this little entrepreneurial spirit when you were younger. You didn't even know what it was going to lead to. What do you like the most about being an entrepreneur, and what do you like the least?
I love that it's, maybe I should go least first, but I'll start with a positive. I love that it's continually creative, you know, it really, and that's where I also think it ties back in more to having been a performing artist before this than I would have imagined. But there are just always new opportunities for creating something. There are always new challenges. There are always, you know, new marketing campaigns. And even when it comes to just sort of, you know, employee relations or you know, franchisee relationships, there are always chances to be creative. And so I just feel like there are so many facets to it that I'm never bored. And I love that, you know, I don't ever want to be bored. So I love that it's continually creative. I think that the thing that I like the least currently is letting go of things. You know, again, going back to that sort of pacing your growth, as we've been growing and I've been bringing on more help, both for myself as a franchisor and then, you know, support for our franchisees, I've had to pass some stuff off. Delegating is a skill and I'm working on it. And mm-hmm. I know it's certainly good for the growth and the strength of the company, but there are some things that, you know, I feel sad about no longer doing. You know, just like I was saying that I sometimes have that nostalgia for sitting in the room when it was just me teaching all the classes. I think that is the one downside of a company growing as ours has and hopefully will continue to, is that of course you can't always do everything. And so anytime I have to say goodbye to some part of my previous role that I'd really loved, even if it doesn't make sense for me to continue doing it, I'm still always a little bit sad.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see why. Do you stay in close communication? So when you're delegating, you kind of feel like, okay, maybe I'm not able to do this, might be feeling nostalgic, but at least I'm getting these great updates from my team. So do you feel connected at least?
Yes. Definitely. You know, and I don't teach as much as I used to, and that's something that I miss. I miss being in the classroom all the time, but now I spend a lot of time working on training and visiting other locations and viewing all these other teachers. So I still feel like I get to be very connected to our curriculum, which is really important to me. You know, and then some of the other side projects, you know, for example, you know, we have a newsletter that goes out that we template for our franchisees. And I used to love putting that all together. You know, and now that's something that I've delegated, but usually, you know, I'll get the first draft and then I can tweak things. And, you know, so there are definitely ways to stay connected to it. So I think I'll keep looking for more, you know, and not just say right. goodbye to them entirely. And because we are a close knit team, but yeah, that's a good point. I am able to usually still stay in touch with some of those things that I've had to let go.
Oh, that's good. You know, you just shed some light. I'm always talking about the CEO who kind of has their hand in that last draft and has to tweak a little something. Well, it's out of love for that particular communication. Exactly. You know, that's all it is. That's really good. Okay, so, you know, you have grown so much, you know, professionally, and you've got this great business that's taken off. How much has your network played a part of what you're doing? Are you relying on friends, peers, colleagues? You know, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really lucky in that I think that I've always just been lucky to have these communities of really close friends that have been so supportive and that I try and be supportive of, and had that all the way, you know, through growing up and then in my adolescent training as a dancer. And a number of us have gone on to do very different things in life. And so I've been able to really, you know, turn to those friends, not only for personal support, but also for resources. You know, I have friends in PR who I can turn to and say, help, what am I doing here?
Yes. I think we have the same friend in PR.
Yes, Rebecca Eilish. She's the one who connected us.
Yes, I know. She's awesome.
She was there night. The night before we opened the very first tutu school, she was there pouring wine to give a toast to us and help us hang tutus on the wall. And then she will also turn around and pick up the phone anytime I'm, you know, needing help and have questions about PR related issues. So, you know, she's a great example. I have a couple of friends who are actually franchise owners now who have chosen to join the business and we work together that way. I'm thinking of another dancer we grew up dancing with who is now, she works in the wardrobe department of Hamilton on Broadway, and she designed and makes the tutus that our birthday party leaders wear at tutu school. So we've been really lucky to just sort of draw from on all of these different strengths that this amazing community has sort of grown into as everyone's gone off and tackled their own roles. And then I've been really lucky, like I said, with Bridget Brown, who is my franchise mentor, as well as being one of my best friends. That was incredibly fortuitous. And I've found a couple of other franchisors that are sort of at the same stage of growth with their companies who we've all just decided, you know, why not just really try and be as open and transparent with one another as possible so we can really have other people we can bounce, you know, challenges and ideas and hopes, fears, dreams off of. And yeah, that's been tremendously helpful. It's so nice to have other people that are in exactly the same boat, that are really doing exactly what you're doing and can be great sounding boards.
And is this a group that just meets physically these other franchise owners who are at the same stage of growth? Are you guys online and social networking together? Maybe you have a private Facebook group?
No. So we have a private Facebook group for our Tutu School franchisees, but in terms of the support network of mine, no, it's more informal than that. There's another franchise system for Taste Buds Kitchen, which is a fantastic, they do a lot of kids cooking classes. They're based out of New York. But then they also do adult cooking classes as well. And they have started franchising and are doing tremendously well. And their founder and I will have a call, you know, every couple months, we'll just hop on and say like, okay, what are you dealing with? What are you facing? And we just had been introduced by a mutual friend who said, hey, you're both franchising. You should talk. And then I've met other franchisors, Sadie Lincoln, who founded Bar 3, who's up in Portland, Oregon, is several steps ahead of me in franchising. She has 100 locations now. And actually Rebecca connected me with her as well. And she just said, come up, you know, come, if you're in Portland, come sit down and we'll just talk. And was just so generous with her time and let me ask as many questions as I might have about how she got from zero to 100 locations. And so, you know, I've just really been so lucky that there have been all these different people that I've come in contact with that, you know, I try and be as generous with as I can too, but I just feel like have been incredibly open and giving with me.
I'm always amazed at how professionals are willing to give advice and, you know, for someone to just meet you and say, come up and let's sit and you can pick her brain and she can share. I think that's so awesome.
I do too. I just love that. And I always try and keep that at the front of my mind when, you know, I get similar calls or emails, because of course we all have to be selective about what we're saying yes and no to, but as much as possible, it's so great just to give that back and pay it forward.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's key. Pay it forward. So what advice would you maybe give to others who want to grow their businesses or even become a franchise?
I think, you know, if I were to go back to the beginning again, I think I would have liked to have just kept the idea of our eventual growth in my mind from the very beginning. And so I think now when I talk to people who are just starting their businesses, I say that, you know, my number one piece of advice is, you know, maybe you won't want to grow. Maybe you'll end up opening one location of one business and you'll have a very set idea of what you want it to be and to have it just stay at. But if you think there's even a chance that you are going to have your eyes set on expansion and on scaling your company, I think trying to think about that as early on as possible, you know, I just don't think there's any downside to that. I think that all of the planning that can come out of that and sort of the benefits from that kind of self-examination of looking at what you would do to your company to scale it can only actually serve the company in whatever form it stays in. So I really would say that. I would say plan for growth early on. Don't wait for some magic sign that's going to tell you, okay, now is the time where we should really think about expanding. But really just kind of weave that through all of the early decision making you do too. I think we would have saved a lot of time and perhaps done things very differently from the get-go if we'd thought about, you know, when we were setting up our first Tutu School, okay, well, if we were going to do this somewhere else, how would we replicate it? I think there are quite a few things that we probably would have done a little bit differently right away that would have ended up saving us some time and toil if we'd been thinking right from the very beginning that this was maybe something we were going to take beyond just one studio.
Oh, that's excellent, excellent advice. Okay, last question, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and Tutu School?
They can learn about us at tutuschool.com. All of our locations that are currently open are listed on there, and there is also a franchising tab at the top for anyone who's interested in information about franchises. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram as Tutu School.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody checks you out. Genevieve, thank you so much for sharing your amazing journey and just shedding a lot of light around the franchising process. We learned a lot from you today, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.